Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek on Daf Tes Zayin, the third perek, perek Mi Sho'omar of Maseches Nozir. We have a Mishnah that you'll notice is rather long. It goes till the second line from the bottom. The first half of the Mishnah is material that basically has been dealt with already in the previous dapim of our Masechta. The Gemara that appears right after the Mishnah, a very short piece of Gemara, will be focusing on the second half of the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have written under the Nosei, the topic heading, the following, Zmanei Tisperes Lenazirim Shonim. The different times, day-wise, for haircuts for different cases of Nazirus. A double underlining will be used to highlight the expression Mi Shenozar Shtei Naziros. Now the Mishnah, bearing in mind that the first half of the Mishnah should appear rather familiar. Mi Sheomar Hareini Nozir, a person who accepts upon himself Nazirus, Migaleach Yoim Shloishim V'Echad. Optimally, his haircut would be on day 31. In other words, there are 30 full days of wine abstention, and the haircut that is necessary at the end of the Nazirus period would be on the day after day 30, namely day 31. V'im gilach l'yoim shloishim yotza, and if he happened to take the haircut on day 30, he has fulfilled his requirements. We glance at Rashi for really review purposes. Rashi says, Misha Omar Hareini Nozir Megalech Yom Shloshim Ve'echad L'Rav Matona Kidi Islei, according to Rav Matona and his explanation, and later we notice Bar Kapora and his explanation. So Rav Matona Kidi Islei De'anazirus Stam Koi, according to Rav Matona, this acceptance of Nazirus is an unqualified Nazirus. He says, I will be a Nazir, not stating how much time. V'ein Nazirus pochus mishloshim yom, and you don't have a Nazirus less than 30 days. So the opening of the Mishnah says he will take the haircut on day 31. We're dealing with someone who accepted upon himself Nazirus. That means 30 days, according to Rav Matona, and hence the haircut on the day after the completion of the 30-day period. Ula Bar Kapora Kidislei, Bar Kapora, he happens to hold that an unqualified Nazirus vow is 29 days. So how do you get to this opening of the Mishnah that says the haircut will be on day 31 if the basic Nazirus is 29 days? So Rashi reminds us, as we've learned in the past, the Muki law, Dinase Ka'imer Shlemim. It's viewed as if he said, I am going to be a Nozir for 30 full days. And all this entire section of the Mishnah has already been dealt with in the first perek of our Masechta. We continue in the Mishnah. Hareini Nozir Shloishim Yoim. Person says he will be a Nazir for 30 days. Here he's stating explicitly 30 days. In Gilach Liom Shloshim Lo Yotz, if he takes his haircut on day 30, so he is not in fulfillment of his vow. Here you have a situation where, having stipulated, I will be a Nazir for 30 days, he's saying, in effect, for 30 full days. So there's no flexibility here, and the haircut must be on day 31 and not prior to that. Misha Nozar Shtei Naziros. Person accepted two Naziros vows. Megalech Es HaRishon HaYom Shloshim V'Echad. The first haircut is on day 31. In other words, the first nazirus was 30 days, and the haircut is 30 on day 31. Ves hashnia yoim shishim ve'chod, and the haircut for the second nazirus will be on day 61. Ve'im gilach es rishoni yoim shloshim, if he happens to take the haircut for the first nazirus on day 30, migalech es hashnia yoim shishim. So the second nazirus culminates with the haircut on day 60. Ve'im gilach yoim shishim choser echad yotza. If he ends up taking the haircut of the second nazirus period on day 59, he is in fulfillment of his requirements. Vezu edus heyid rabbi papius al mishin ozer shtei naziros, and this is testimony that Rav Papias offers regarding someone who accepts two nazirus. Sheim gilach es rishoni yom shloshim, if he takes the haircut for the first one on day 30, migaleach es hashnia yoim shishim, he can take the haircut for the second one on day 60. Vim gilach liyoim shishim choser echad, and if he takes the haircut for the second one on day 59, yotza, he is in fulfillment. So you'll ask, how in the world can a haircut on day 59 be in fulfillment when a nazirus is in effect 30 days? And we would say 30 plus 30 is 60. So the answer to that is Shiyom Shloshim Ululuy Min Haminyon. Day 30 can count not only as the culmination of the first nazirus period, but it also counts, day 30 counts as day 1 of the second nazirus period. And if you do your counting, starting with day, with that particular day, day 30, counting it as day 1, so you'll find that 30 days ahead culminates on day 59. As we indicated earlier, till this point, the Gemara will not really elaborate on that. We've dealt with it in the past. We continue. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, Dine mi shenitma besof nezirusso. Laws regarding someone who became tamei, defiled to the dead, at the end of his nezirus. The Mishnah. Mi shama hareini nozir. If a person accepted upon himself a nozir vow, nitmo yoim shloshim soser sakol, if he becomes defiled to the dead on day 30, he loses everything that he counted till that point, and he has to recount, restart his nazirus. Rabbi Lezer Omer, eino soser elo shiva. He only loses 7 days, which really means he doesn't lose anything, but he has to wait 7 more days until he can bring the sacrifices in a state of ritual purity. In other words, to achieve ritual purity after having been defiled to the dead, one would have to wait 7 days. And there are more details to that, but for our purposes, we're dealing with numbers. Hareini nazir shloshim yom. Here is someone accepts upon himself in an explicit fashion nazirus for 30 days. Nitmo yom shloshim soiser esakol. If he becomes defiled on day 30, as far as we're concerned, day 30 is in the middle of his nazirus because he accepted 30 complete days. He then loses everything. Hareini nazir mea yom. Person accepts upon himself a long nazirus, long-term nazirus for 100 days. Nitmo yomea soser esakol. Defilement on day 100 results in your having to start all over again. Soser esakol, you lose everything till that point. Rebbe Lezer Omer, eino soser elo shloishim. Rebbe Lezer says that you lose only 30. In other words, you have to make up 30 more days, and then you have fulfilled your requirements. Nitmo yoim mea v'echad, if a person became tomei on day 101, soiser shloishim yom, you lose 30 days. Now, that's an interesting point. When you've seemingly completed your nazir counting, you became tomei basically on haircut day. So you have to wait another 30 days. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, eino soser elo shiva, you lose only 7 days. As we indicated earlier, this latter part of the Mishnah will be explained a little further through this short piece of Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. If you want to find where the quote comes from, use the arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Misha Omar Hareini Nazir. Person accepts upon himself Nazirus without qualifying how much time. And as we've said already many times, that's assumed to be a 30-day period. V'nitmo yoim shloshim. And he becomes tummy on day 30. Sosures HaKol. He loses everything and he has to start all over again. Rabbi Lezer Omer Eino Soser Elo Shiva. He loses only 7 days, and that isn't in order to make up Nazirus days. Rather, it is in order for him to be able to bring his sacrifice in a state of ritual purity, which, as we said earlier, means that you have to wait 7 days from the point you became defiled. Because the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, Kosovar Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer is of the opinion, Kol Achar Malois, any Tuma that is after you completed the 30 days, so Shiva Soser, it results in your losing 7 days. You might be asking, how is Tuma on the 30th day considered Achar Malos? Achar Malos means after you completed. How do you have on day 30 something that's called completion? So Rashi once again reminds us of information we learned in the first parak. This is dependent on how you explain this Tanaic opinion. Bar Pado holds that this Tana, Rebbe Lezer, is of the opinion that Nazirus is basically 29 days. Well, if Nazirus is 29 days, so day 30 represents the day after you've completed your requirements. The other Amoraic explanation, that of Rav Matana, he holds Mitzas Hayom Kekulo. Part of the day is considered like an entire day. So, on day 30, part of it counts toward the completion of the 30-day Nazirus requirement. The other part of the day, the part after your defilement in this instance, represents Achar Malos, after you have completed. So from the point that you became defiled, that is already after the first part of the day. We continue once again with a quote from the Mishnah, and we have markings to help you find where this is. You have a little star, in this case to the left hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with a corresponding star on Omid Aleph. Hareini Nazir Shloshim Yoim V'nitmo Yoim Shloshim Soser Sakol. A person who had accepted Nazirus for 30 days. Here he specified 30 days, and he became Tomei on day 30. So he has to make up the entire 30 days. Velo Polig Rebbe Elazar. The Tana Rebbe Elazar here does not argue. Why? The Omar Shleiman, here he said, I want to be a Nazir for 30 complete days. So day 30 is still within the counting. And hence, he, upon becoming defiled, must start all over again. Again, a quote from the Mishnah: Hareini Nazir Me'ah Yoim V'Nitmo Yoim Me'ah Soser Es Hakol Rebbe Elazar Omer Eino Soser Elo Shloshim V'Kula K'Dehavinon Bo Aliba De'Bar Pada V'Rav Matana. And here the Gemara adopts shorthand and says, all of this, the way to explain the Mishnah, is what we have already explained in the past. Each one according to his opinion, Bar Pada according to his explanation, and Rav Matana according to his explanation. We glance at the Rashi. Rebbe Elazar Omer Lo Soser Elo Shloshim Kedomer Reish Lokish Beperek Kamo. The time of Rebbe Elazar Mishum Dekoma Kro Zois Teras Hanozir Biyom Malos. Reish Lokish explained this already in the first perek. The pasuk says this is the rule of the Nazir Biyom Malos. HaTorah Omra, the Torah says, once again, we're explaining the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. The Torah says, Nitmo Biyom Malos, if you become Tomei on the day of completion, Tain lo tiras nazir. You then apply to him the length of time of a basic nazir. V'afilu b'nazirus meruba. Even if his original nazirus vow was a long one, basic nazirus is 30 days. So becoming tame on the day of completion of a long nazirus results in your having to make up tiras nazir only 30 more days. The Mishnah. Mi shenozar v'hu beveis hakvoros. A person accepted nazirus, strangely enough, while in a cemetery. In other words, he is accepting nazirus in a state of tuma, in a state of defilement. And when we speak about defilement with regard to a nazir, it's limited to the defilement to the dead. So he has accepted upon himself nazirus while in a state of tumas meis. Afilu hoya sham shloishim yoim, even if he remains there for 30 days, ein oilin loy min haminyan. Those days do not count toward his nazirus requirement. Vieno mevi korban tuma. He does not bring a sacrifice or the series of sacrifices that a nazir who became defiled would ordinarily have to bring. Yotza v'nichnas, if he, this very person who had originally accepted nazirus in a state of defilement, if he left the cemetery and he achieved tara, in other words, the 7-day waiting period took place, during which there is the sprinkling of the ash water mixture from the red heifer, from the poraduma, on day 3 and day 7 during that week of Tahara. And then he went back into the cemetery. Oilin loy min haminyan, umevi korban tuma. We take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi we're looking at, Dibor Masl Yotzov and Nichnas, there's a amendation, the Nuschus HaRivan that you see on the side of the Gemara. He quotes a different text. He says, "V'kisve Yad Isa B'zeh Haloshen." And we're reading from the Nuschus HaRivan for the time being. Instead of reading the Rashi text itself, you notice, I hope everyone sees, so we can read along with the Rivan. So, Bekisve Yad Isa B'zeh HaLoshen, and Ois Dalid of the Rivan, Yotza V'nichnas, Avol Im Yotza V'huza V'shina V'toval, that means if he left the cemetery, had the Huza is the sprinkling of the Poraduma water, and on this third day, and then repeated on the seventh day, V'toval, and immersed himself, Miad Cholo Olov, Af oisin nazir shekibel kishinitva. Immediately, the original vow that he had taken while in the cemetery takes hold. Shim la'achar mikan nichnas, if after this he goes into the cemetery, oilin loy laminyan nazirus. Those days that he had observed after achieving the tara start counting toward his nazirus. Mikivan shishona v'tava b'yoyim shvi shelo, shemevi korban al hatuma, and that's the hosov dibor. In a case like that, so the nazirus that he originally accepted would start ticking away after he achieves tahara, and then if he becomes tomei, he will have to bring the korban that a nazir shenitma, a nazir that becomes upon, has to bring. According to what we learned in the Rashi with this Nusach HaRivan, is that if on that very same day, on day 7, that he achieved Tara, he goes back into the cemetery, he then will have to bring the korban tuma, the korban for a nazir that became tomei. We continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo bo bayom. He says, not so if on that very day that he achieved Tara, he went immediately back into the cemetery. The Mishnah quotes a pasuk Shneimar Vayomim Harishonim Yiplu. That in the context of the Nazir who became Tomei, the pasuk speaks in the plural in terms of days. He would have had to count 2 days. It says the first days fall. Achi lo yomim rishonim. Until he has achieved multiple 2 days of Nazirus Betara and then becomes Tomei, only then would he bring the korban of a Nazir Tomei. Let's look at the Rashi together. Reb Lezer Omer lo bo vayom kishizo vishino v'toval im nichnas. If he had achieved Tara through Shino, V'toval is the Hizo, V'shino is the sprinkling on the third day. Shino means repeated on the seventh day. And then immerse himself, if he went then into the Beis HaKvoros, into the cemetery, Eino may be Korban Tumo, Achi Avorov, Shnei Yomim, V'yomi B'shlishi, until 2 full days of Nazirus B'tahara goes by. And then on the third day, he goes into the Tumo. Shinemar vayomim rishonim yiplu. Emosai shani kure kol mikro zeb. Shiulo yomim rishonim. Only when I can refer to him, this pasuk that speaks about 2 days of tahara going by, then he becomes a subject to the rules of a nozir who defiles himself and has to bring a sacrifice. So we have a machlokas tanoim concerning someone who had accepted Nazirus originally in the state of Tumah, achieved the 7 days of Tara, and then on that last day, on day 7, he went back into the cemetery. It seems to me that even if on day 8 he went back into the cemetery, Rabbi Elazar still would say he is exempt. You'd have to have 2 full days of Tara in order for Rabbi Elazar to require him to become to bring the sacrifices of a Nazir Shenitma to begin with. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Klali and Mivneh heading. Nosei Klali means a general topic heading. The Mivneh, a structural note, and we indicate that this is until Daf Yud Ches Omed Aleph. So we have a rather long topic ahead of us. A double underline appears. This highlights the expression Misha Nozar Behu Beveis HaKvoras. You'll notice that we use this marking here, and on Daf Yud Zayin Omed Aleph, you'll notice at the lower part of the page, and on Daf Yud Zayin Omed Aleph Omed Beis, you'll notice 4 lines from the top. Again, this double underlining. So you can see how we're getting maximum use out of our double underlining. You can see, let's see, the bird's eye view of this long sugya. The topic heading that we have for the immediate sugya is Machloikis Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, a controversy between these two Amoroyim, B'misha Nozar V'hu B'veis HaKvoros, someone who accepted Nazirus while in a cemetery. Haim HaNazirus Chola Olav Oy Loi. Does the Nazirus take hold at all? Is there any vow that is present? Or maybe it's one big zero. After we present the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you'll notice triangles appear, and they represent kushos al Reish Lakish. So, once again, as we've mentioned often in the past, use your Gemara markings to maximum benefit. By the way, if you don't have a marked Gemara, you should know that you can access one by contacting gmarkings@gmail.com. The triangles that appear are, as we say, questions on Reish Lakish, and you'll notice how, if you turn to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the triangles scheme continues basically all the way down most of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So Reish Lakish is going to be subjected to quite a bit of questioning. When you get to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, by the way, you'll notice a slight change in the type of triangles that are used, because there is a change in the sugya regarding what they, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, are arguing about. So there's going to be a restatement of their machloikes, and even after that restatement of their machloikes, questions continue on Reish Lakish. Now, we haven't said what he holds, but that's the derech of Gemara markings, where even if you don't know the information, at least you have course of travel mapped out. Now the Gemara, Itmar, Misha Nazar Behu Beves HaKvoros. Someone accepted upon himself Nazirus, and he is standing in a cemetery. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Nazirus Chola Olav. Rabbi Yochanan says, the Nazirus vow starts, it takes hold. Reish Lakish Omar, Ein Nazirus Chola Olav. And Reish Lakish disagrees. Before going further, let's glance at the Rashi. There's a Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines. Itmar, Misha Nazar Vu Beis HaKvoros, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nazirus Cholov, to Kosovar, he holds the high man, the Mekabel Nazirus Beis HaKvoros, one who accepts a Nazirus vow in the cemetery, and Rashi quotes that which we'll see shortly in the Gemara itself. What does he hold? Mitlo Talya V'kaimo. It's in suspension. In other words, there's something there, but it's suspended. That's mitlo talio v'kaimo. V'kevon de mishkachas tara, and once tara is achieved, once purification is achieved, dehainu lachar shigetze, v'hizo v'shona, v'toval, and when is purification, when is tara achieved? Well, after he leaves the cemetery, has the double sprinkling, third and seventh day, and immersion, chayla, oloya, olay, the Nazirus vow then takes hold. And here's the main point. This takes hold, even if he doesn't say a word about his original vow. He doesn't say, I'm now accepting upon myself that which I originally had vowed in the cemetery. So even without saying that, it takes hold. That is what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says the Nazirus vow takes hold. It takes hold and it's in suspension. The Tosfos that you'll find the lower part of the page, seven lines from the end, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nazirus Chol Olav L'Chol Mili. For all purposes, there is Nazirus V'Loike B'Yidisham Atumo Im Hisru Ba'Lotzeis Mimenu. He's even subject to lashing if, while he was there in the cemetery, he was warned, leave! And he doesn't leave. He is thereby subjected to malchus, to lashings, vatiglachas, and he's subject to punishment if he takes the forbidden haircut, vashtias yayin, and for drinking wine, ukshiyitar, ein sorch lachsu kabalov nazirus. And when he becomes purified, he doesn't have to re-accept Nazirus. So according to the Tosfos explanation, the Nazirus has basically full manifestation, even though while he accepts it, he is Tomei. Let's continue in the Gemara. Now the Gemara makes the presentation of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Nazirus Chola Olav, the vow that he took while in the cemetery takes hold. Sovar, Rabbi Yochanan holds mitla talio v'kaimo. The Nazirus is in a state of suspension. Now, we said when we learned the Tosfos that all the rules of Nazirus apply. One thing that doesn't apply is that he doesn't get credit for the 30 days that are required for a Nazir to observe. So in that respect, we say, well, he is in suspension. Kevon de Mishkicha Tara, when he finally meets up with Tara, when he achieves purification, Chaylo, the Nazirus, takes hold even though he doesn't re-accept it. Reish Lakish Amar Ein Nazirus Chol Olav. Reish Lakish says that the vow to be a Nazir while in the cemetery does not take hold. V'hoder v'omar, Chaylo Lei, v'lo loy. If he re-accepts the Nazirus, then he becomes a Nazir. Then Chaylo Lei, I mean, then it takes hold. And if he doesn't re-accept it, nothing happens. And we introduced earlier the triangles. We're going to be questioning Reish Lakish's position. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks, Misha Nozar v'hu b'veis HaKvoros, someone who becomes a Nazir while in a cemetery. Afilu ha'yasham shloishim yoim, even if he is there 30 days, and of course this is a quote from our Mishnah, Ein oilin min haminyan. The 30 days that ensue from the point that he accepted the Nazirus while in the cemetery and he remains there, so they don't count toward his Nazirus 30-day requirement. V'eino mevi korban tumah, and he doesn't bring the sacrifice that a Nazir Tome would ordinarily bring for having defiled himself. And we now infer, korban tumah hu delo maisi. The only exemption is that he does not bring that series of sacrifices for as a Nazir Tome would ordinarily bring. Homecha chaylole. However, the basic Nazirus does take hold. The Tosfos second from the bottom says, Korban Tumahu Delo Maisi Demarate Kro Lekamon. There's a scriptural limitation excluding the bringing of a sacrifice for Tuma under these circumstances. But that's a scriptural exclusion. Ha mecha chayol olei nazirus linyan delokia tuma atiglachas vayayin. But as far as everything else is concerned, the nazirus does take hold regarding lashing for the tuma, for taking a haircut, for drinking wine. Rish Lakish responds, "Amar lei eino b'toiras tuma v'eino b'toiras korban." When the Mishnah says eino mevi korban tuma, Reish Lakish understands that to mean he's simply excluded from all the rules of Tuma and all the rules of Korbonus. Total exclusion. Esve, again a challenge to Reish Lakish. Mishoya Tomei Vinozar, someone who had been Tomei and while in a state of Tuma accepted the Nazirus vow, he is not allowed to take a haircut, drink wine, nor defile himself to the dead. If he did any of those, he is subjected to the lashing penalty, the 40, technically speaking, it's 39 lashings for having violated the Nazirus. If you say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that someone, while in a state of defilement, vows to be a Nazir, it takes hold. I understand, therefore, why he is liable and subject to the lashing penalty. If you're going to take Reish Lakish's position, that a Tomei individual that vows to be a Nazir, nothing takes hold. Why should he be subject to lashing? He hasn't become a Nazir whatsoever. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yud Zayin. Hocha b'mai askinon b'yotze v'nichnas. This source is actually talking about someone who, after he had become Tomei, he left his state of Tumah, he achieved Tara, and then became Tomei again. Let's take a look at the Rashi at the top of Daf Yud Zayin. Hocha b'mayaskinon b'yotze v'nichnas shiyotza. He left the Tumah, he left the cemetery, v'hizo b'shlishi shvi v'toval, and he had the Torah Aduma ash water sprinkling, thereby an immersion in the mikveh, thereby achieving real Tara. And now notice what Rashi adds, V'hodar Omar, and then he said afterwards, Hareini Nozir, V'nichnas. He then reaccepted Nazirus and went back into the Tumah, went back into the cemetery, Soifikas Raboyim. He is subject to the lashing. Now you might ask, well then, isn't that all obvious? What's the purpose of teaching this? Lafuke Midura Blazer. The purpose here is to the exclusion of the other Tanaic opinion, that of Rebbe Lezer, Diomar Lo Bo Bayom, that if he goes back immediately on the day that he achieved Tara, he will not be subject to the Nazir punishments for defilement and the haircut and the wine. Avli Lo Hadar V'Yomar Eino Asur LeGaleach. If, however, he doesn't say again the Nazir's vow, he's not going to be subject to any restrictions, because the vow doesn't take hold automatically. We continue. Eisvei, the Gemara quotes again a Tanaic source. It says, Ein bein tomei shenozar lenozir tor shenitma. There is no difference between someone who already was tomei and then accepted Nazirus while in a state of defilement to someone who was tohor as a nazir and then became defiled. Elo tomei shenozar shvi'i sheloi oile loi leminyan. A person who had accepted Nazirus while tomei, when he counts the 7 days of Tara that are required to exit the state of Tumah, that 7th day counts as day 1 for his Nazirus. This individual, as we've learned already, is not subject to bringing a sacrifice. So day 7, he can already start his counting toward the new Nazirus. The Nazir Torah Shinitma, a person who was a Nazir, a proper Nazir, and then became defiled, he has to observe 7 clean days, 7 days outside of defilement, during which, as we've said already a number of times today, there's a Paraduma water ash sprinkling on the 3rd and 7th days. This individual has to bring sacrifices because he was a Nazir Tohor that became defiled. When does he bring the sacrifices? Not on day 7, but rather the next day, on day 8. So as a result of that, Ein Shvi Shela Ula Leminyan, his day 7 doesn't count toward the counting of the new Nazirus, or of the Nazirus Betara. He has to wait till day 8, which will count as the first day toward his Nazirus of Tahara. So that is the difference. V'i salka daitach lo chayla. If you are to think that a person who was in a state of Tuma, who accepted Nazirus, nothing takes hold, amai oyle loy min haminyan, why then does day 7 count toward his Nazirus of 30 days? He hasn't become a Nazir at all. What do we mean that day 7 counts toward what? He's nothing. If you say, as Reish Lakish said, that nothing takes hold. Omar Mor Baravashi, Mechal Kuliamalo, Pligi de Chayla. Here we have a big turnaround in the Gemara. Contrary to what we thought before, Mar Baravashi says, as far as something taking hold, the Nazir vow taking hold while he was already Tomei and vowed to be a Nazir, everyone agrees it takes hold. Something takes hold. Eloki pligi lemilki. The machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is with regard to punishment, the lashing punishment. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take a look at the Tosfos. You'll notice under the Gemara text, the first line of the Tosfos, it begins with the word Hago, Mechal, de Kuliamo, de Chayel. Everyone agrees that something takes hold. Ukshitar, Ein Tzorch Lachzor, Lidor, Benozir. And when he achieves Tara, on that 7th day after having the Poraduma sprinkling and the immersion in the mikvah, he doesn't have to re-accept the Nazir vow that he originally took when he was in a state of Tuma. De Chayel Olav, Mizius Rishon. It takes hold. It sets upon him from the original Nazirus vow. V'nicha hashto, and with this in mind, then it's understood the shvi oila loy min aminyan v'afilu lo yachzor v'yakabel, that day 7 counts toward the new Nazirus period, even if he doesn't re-accept the vow. V'wadin nami demoida Reb Shimon ben Lakish, the Lucky. Toch yemei tumaso ashtiyo vatiglachas, and Reish Lakish will concede that if during the tuma period, before he achieved tara, he drinks wine or takes a haircut, he is subject to lashing, because as we're saying now, everyone agrees that the nazirus took hold. V'chi pligi lemilki, the Gemara said that there's a machlokis regarding lashings Pirush Atuma Lechud, lashing for defilement. That's the point of Machlokes. I Hisrubo Atuma. If he was warned concerning the Tuma, will he be subject to lashing? Rabbi Yochanan Sovar, given the Chayle Nazirus Lishar Mili, Ashtiyas Yam, Tinglachas, Chayle Nami Atuma. Im Hisrubo Lotseis Velo Yotzab. Since the Nazirus takes effect regarding the wine restriction and the haircut restriction, it takes effect also with regard to Tumah. If this person, while standing in the cemetery, who had accepted Nazirus, was warned, leave the cemetery, and he doesn't, he is subject also for that to lashing. Derachmono lomeate, elomi korban lechudei, lekamon, velomi malkis de Tumah. The Torah, which makes an exclusion for the Nazir who was Tomei, excludes him only from the sacrifice requirement, but doesn't exclude him from the Malkus punishment for defilement. For Reb Shimon Kosh Sovar, Afagab, the Chayla Lishar Mili, Reish Lakish accepts the position that even though the Nazirus takes hold with regard to the other matters, Liyayinut in Vachas, Lo Loki Atuma, he will not be subject to lashing for the Tuma. The Kevan de Meate Rachmoni Mikorban Tuma, Meate Mikoldim Tuma Af Mi Malkus. Since the Torah excludes him from the necessity of bringing sacrifices, he is excluded from all the laws that have pertinence to Tuma, including exclusion from Malkus. So, we continue back in the Gemara. We've focused, courtesy of the Tosfos, the Machlokas, to is there Malkus for the Tuma when he's warned to leave and doesn't? Rabbi Yochanan Savar Kiva de Chayla Loki, since the Nazirus takes hold, he's subject to Malkus as well for Tuma. Reish Lokish Savar Lo Loki Vechayla. He does not subject himself to Malkus, even though the Nazirus takes hold with regard to the wine and haircut restrictions. On the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note. We already mentioned this earlier, but we look at it again inside, on the side of our Gemara. Hemshich kushis al Reish Lakish. These triangles simply represent the continuation of challenges, questions on Reish Lakish. Hatam she shininu, the triangle, the reason we shininu, we changed the triangle to this style, colored in tip. The Adkana Gemara Choshva Shecholkim Im Chola HaNazirus. Up till this point, the Gemara thought that the Machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was, is the Nazirus Chal at all? Does it take hold to begin with? Achshav Gemara Severus de Luchuliyama Chola HaNazirus. At this point, everyone agrees that the Nazirus does take hold. Vecholkim Im Chayev Malkis, and the Machlokis is simply whether there is a chiyuv malkus, and we saw in the Tosfos regarding the tuma. The Gemara, Eisvei Reb Yochanan l'Reish Lakish, Mi shenozar v'hu beveis hakvaros afilu hoya sham shloishim yoyim, ein oylu loy min aminyan ve'ein omevi korban tuma. This, of course, is a quote from the Mishnah. We saw it already a few times. Someone who accepted Nazirus while in the cemetery, even if he's there for 30 days, it doesn't count toward any, toward his count, toward his minion, toward his Nazirus, and he does not bring the Korban sacrifice. Korban tumahu dolomaisi, and now we infer. The only thing he is excluded from is the need to bring the sacrifices that a Nazir who became Tomei would have to bring. Ha milka loki ole. However, for the Tuma that he is exposed to now and warned to leave and doesn't, he is subject, or he, we can say he is subject to Malkus. Just to repeat, the only thing he's excluded from is the need to bring a sacrifice. Nothing else, including the liability to receive Malkus for remaining in the Tuma. That's a problem for Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish said there would be no Malkus for remaining in the Tuma. Reish Lakish would respond, "Bedinu delisni ein aloke." Technically, the Mishnah could have said he is not subject to lashing. Elamishim de kaboi lemisna seifa. But since the seifa wanted to feature a tuma, a korban tuma requirement, so the Reisha said he's not liable to bringing the sacrifice. What does the Seifa say? Yotza v'nichnas oilulo min aminyan u'mevi korban tuma. The person who had been tomei, who if he leaves achieves tahara and then goes back, he does bring the korban for having defiled the nazirus. Tana resha, in contrast, so the resha teaches eino mevi korban tuma. So simply for, we'll say, Tanaic stylistic considerations, the Reisha did not speak about the Malkus exemption. But there is a Malkus exemption, so as to justify Reish Lakish's position. Toshma, we continue with another question. Again, quoting from a source we saw on Daf Tezayin, Ein bein nazir tomei shen nazar le nazir torah shen nitma. There is no difference between someone who accepted nazirus while tomei versus someone who was a nazir torah and became defiled. Ela she tomei shen nazar shvi shelo yelo min aminyan. The tomei shen nazar, the person who while in a state of defilement accepted nazirus, so his seventh day of purification can count toward the new nazirus period. In his case, the Nazir Tomer that became Tomei, his seventh day of Tahara, of purification, does not count toward his new 30-day counting. He has to wait till the next day. So this Tanaic source points out the differences between them. Hala Malkus, Zev is a Shavin, but regarding lashing, they're both the same. In other words, everyone under knows that a Nazir Tohar, a person who was a Nazir and he was Tohar, and then became Tomei, if he deliberately became Tomei, so he's certainly subject to Malkus. That's accepted across the boards. So this source makes it clear that the Tomei Shenazar is the same. And hence we have a kasha on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish wanted to say that the Tomei Shenazar is exempt from Malkus. This source doesn't indicate thusly. Omar Lei Loi. Reish Lakish responds and says, not so. The source that says there is no distinction, leaving room, in other words, the source that said there is a distinction on this particular point, leaving room to infer that on some other point there is no distinction, it's as follows. L'tiglachas zev ezeh shavin. With regard to the haircut prohibition, they are the same. But regarding Malkus for Tumah, they're not the same, would maintain Reish Lakish. The Rashi, a few lines up from here, says, "Eimo l'tiglachazev is a shoven shishneim megalchin b'yom shvi shilahen." That both of them take the haircut on their seventh day. But as far as Malkus is concerned, they're not the same. The Gemara continues with a question: "Avolein in Malkus mai." But with regard to Malkus, what do you want to say? Ze loike v'ze eino loike, that the Nazir Tohar that became Tomei gets Malkus. The Tomei Shenazar does not get Malkus. That's what you, Reish Lakish, want to say? Listene, so teach it. That's something significant that should have been taught explicitly. Reish Lakish answers, betakante komairi bekilkule lo komairi. This source was talking about takante, we'll say positive things. When does he start the recounting? That's what the object of this source was, to emphasize the positive things that need to be done. Kilkule, we'll call the mess up, the negative things is not what this source was interested in talking about. Let's take a look at the Tosfos commentary, lower part of the page, in the middle of the wide lines. Betakato komairi, mosa yaschil minyan l'naziruso v'nitma b'shogeg. What the source is interested in describing is when does he start counting toward the fulfillment of his nazirus vow in the case of someone that became Tomei in a state of shogeg, in other words, unwittingly, with regard to someone who deliberately exposes himself to Tumah, that's something where he himself is, let's say, ruining himself. Even according to Reish Lakish, it's osur to expose oneself to the Tumah, even within the 7 days. The im lo kein, if not so, lisni ze mutter letamos vze osur letamos da lav kilkulahu. If it were so that someone who was a tomei shenozar doesn't have any tumah restrictions, then even during the 7 counting days of purification where he hasn't achieved tahara yet, it should have said that a tomei shenozar is allowed to expose himself to tumah and a tohar shenitma is not allowed. But it doesn't say that. That's because this source wasn't interested in talking about kilkul, let's say deliberate messing up. But as far as, like, we'll say, bottom line is concerned, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, there is a distinction regarding Malkus for the Tumah as well. The Gemara continues. Ta Shema. Mi Shehoya Tomei Venozar. Like someone who was standing in a cemetery and accepted Nazirus while standing in a state of Tumah. He is prohibited from taking a haircut. He cannot drink wine. If he took a haircut, drank wine, and defiled himself to the dead. So here you see someone who was in a state of tumah, and he was warned, leave the tumah, and he doesn't do so. He is subject to Malkus. Tiufta, this then represents a Tanaic refutation to Reish Lakish's position. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.